You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lakers improved their record to 7-3, top record in the Western Conference right now. They got a little bit of a lead over the Los Angeles Clippers and the Phoenix Suns. 117-115, the final score against the Chicago Bulls. You heard it right here. Michael Thompson, John Ireland were fantastic on the call. It was really actually an exciting game. I know Laker fans aren't too crazy about just a two-point win over the Bulls, but Chicago fought. Lakers found a way towards the end of the game and in that fourth quarter to hold on, and let's not pretend it was probably much closer than anybody assumed. I know Michael and I doing the pregame show. Listen, we know Anthony Davis is not in the game, so that's obviously going to change everything. KCP again, it looks like he'll probably go in the next one against the Houston Rockets. Next two games for the Lakers are on the road in Houston. But keeping all that in mind, they squeeze out a win. A couple things I want to point out real quick. So we look at, obviously these team stats. Lakers hit 12 threes. Chicago hit 10. Lakers shot 50.5% from the field. Bulls shot 50.5% from the field. One of the advantages Lakers had, and you could say is probably the difference of the game, Lakers hit 10 more free throws than the Chicago Bulls did. But other than that, I mean, there was a lot of similarities down the road. I mean, Bulls had 10 steals. Lakers only had 3, but Lakers had 8 blocks. Chicago only had 3. So you kind of go back and forth. The game was incredibly close. Sometimes, you know, it's easy for us to look at the stats and say, all right, well, the game wasn't as close as it was. No, it pretty much was. The one area that I think is a little bit of a surprise, I guess not a surprise because Anthony Davis was not in. Lakers outscored 62-42 from points in the paint. So the Chicago Bulls certainly took advantage from that perspective. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. So Laker fans, if you're out there, this question I'm going to throw out to Laker fans. It doesn't have to be just on this game. We're 10 games in. What do you think? What do you think of this Lakers team? If you want to compare them to last year's squad with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee and Danny Green and Rajon Rondo, what do you think 10 games in? We all know that obviously the Lakers, this is going to be the team to beat in the Western Conference. Everybody in the NBA is chasing the Los Angeles Lakers, but that's all on paper. You know, those acquisitions that the Lakers made in the offseason, everyone excited. Montrezl Harrell coming to the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder, a part of this team. Wesley Matthews, everybody just believes is a perfect fit. Marc Gasol. But on paper, that's one thing. We got 10 games under our belt. What do you feel or how do you feel about how the Lakers have looked so far? I'll give you, obviously my thoughts and my opinion. There's certain moments over these first 10 games where you could just tell that at some point down the road when these games start becoming more meaningful, not to discredit these games early on, but I do think the Lakers' strategy is going to be different than a lot of other teams that are out there. There are moments where you can see that down the road this Lakers team is going to be an incredibly, incredibly tough out in the league. And then there are other moments where it's safe to say, God, Lakers look sloppy on the turnover front. Or they're settling too much for outside shots, or there's not enough rim protection down low, and they're not playing good enough defense as we're accustomed to seeing, giving up 115, let's use as an example tonight against Chicago, or yesterday when they gave up 118 points against the 118 points against the San Antonio Spurs. So you've seen a little bit of that. And one of the things that, there's a road trip coming up for the Lakers that I'm really looking forward to watching and listening to right here on 710. There's a road trip coming up in about a week and a half. Lakers will go at Milwaukee, at Chicago, which just gave them a fight, at Cleveland, at Philly, at Detroit, and at Boston. Those three games in the East, I'm very curious to see how the Lakers respond, how they play. That's just enough time. By that time, you're 30 days into the season, right? You had your preseason, you had your short training camp of preseason, but then you're back into you've had enough games to kind of start gauging how things are going. I'm really looking forward to that road trip because so far the Lakers have played teams that have had it seems like every game somebody's been out. And I know you could say that about the Lakers as well, but Aldridge was out for two games. We watched that obviously unfold for the that was a big advantage for the Lakers without Aldridge, those two wins in San Antonio, the two wins in Memphis. Two wins in Memphis, obviously big as well. No Ja Morant, no Jaren Jackson Jr., and no Justice Winslow. You kind of go down the list. No Kristaps Porzingis. There's been key players missing every time the Lakers have played. Tonight, no Lauri Markkanen, who's obviously a key piece for the Chicago Bulls as well, but no Anthony Davis. All right, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. We appreciate you guys being a part of the show. We'll have Lakers head coach Frank Vogel here shortly. So this is LeBron James's stat line tonight. LeBron again ends up with 28-7-7, 34 minutes of play, 11-21 from the field. You know, I would say if you thought the Lakers were going to take advantage of this early schedule, and maybe you get this opportunity to rest LeBron in some of these games, that hasn't been the case at all. So whether it's against Memphis, or it's against the San Antonio Spurs, or it's against the Chicago Bulls, LeBron is still playing major minutes to start off the season. And I'm sure for some Laker fans, that's the last thing you want to see. But it's the truth. That's just kind of the predicament that the Lakers are in right now. The predicament that they're in is, no, they need LBJ to be playing big-time minutes early on. So right now, minutes-wise, I want to see if I could see what he's averaging minutes-wise right now. But it's got to be north of 30 minutes. And, yeah, so far through the first nine games, just under 33 minutes a game is what he's averaging so far. Well, that decline as we kind of, you know, get deeper into the season, have no idea. You know, this depth that the Lakers have that we all talk about and we all kind of brag about how big it's going to be for the Lakers – the hope is that it also gives a guy like LeBron some opportunities to not have to carry the Lakers. He carried the Lakers again tonight. Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, key reasons to the 117-115 victory. I mean, don't get me wrong. They were big pieces of why the Lakers and how the Lakers eventually got the win tonight. But just equally as important is LeBron still having to kind of carry the load. But let me give you Dennis Schroeder's line real quick. 17 points, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Montrezl Harrell, the 17 points and 14 rebounds, 7 of those coming off the offensive glass. I remember there was a specific call from Ireland in the first half. Talked by, I think, Talen Horton-Tucker had missed a shot. And there comes Montrezl out of nowhere, grabs it, score and a foul. And John said, that's pretty much what Montrezl Harrell does, right? He's that guy that can clean up off the glass and just go straight to work, and he certainly did that for the Lakers tonight. But Wesley Matthews' contributions with the 14 points I thought was big, and then you got a few other guys that are kind of chipping in to eventually get to 117. This is how the Lakers are going to become the best team in the NBA, and of course a lot of that's going to fall on Anthony Davis's shoulders. They just got to be a better defensive team. That's it. That's what it's going to come down to. I think to start off this game, Chicago put up 33 points in that first quarter. They had 30 in the third quarter, another 27 in the fourth. Lakers stops is what's going to get the Lakers where they need to be. All right, coming up next, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Plus, we'll take some of your phone calls. Thank you for tuning in. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the show. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Here's Thaddeus Young, gets it to Denzel Valentine, back to Young on the left side. Young dribbling, backing in Dudley, turns, shoots, Harrell blocks it. Montrez flew off the weak side and blocked the shot.
Lakers would end up with 8 blocks in the game. 8 blocks for the Lakers. How about that? 4 of them coming from Marc Gasol on his own. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers over the Chicago Bulls, 117-115. Before we go to we'll go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. If you want to be a part of the postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. Let's get coach's thoughts on the 2-point win over the Chicago Bulls.
Hey, Frank, how much credit do you get for that brilliant game-ending play when Schroeder was fast?
Well, that's one of the areas we want to get the ball in is, we can throw it in the backcourt, with all that space. Bron's obviously, a great passer in that situation, and Dennis has the speed to do that. But, we have defined spaces where we want to put guys in that type of action to get it in.
What do you think was the biggest difference tonight, Frank?
I think a lot of guys contributed. I think it was a team win. It was far from perfect, obviously. Our defense was obviously missed AD, probably more on the defensive end even than the offensive end. But we competed. We grinded through it. Zach LaVine obviously started the game, and Kobe White super hot. And we just had a lot of guys, contribute. I thought Alex and Talen off the bench were really good. Duds gives us a big stretch right there. We were struggling with some coverages. Kuz knocked down a couple threes. Keith hit a big three late. Trez obviously was terrific. Bron carried a big load. He and Dennis worked together well in the pick and roll. And Wes got real hot too. In that third quarter, I think he had 4 threes, maybe all in that third. So I think we just we hung in there. It was we weren't playing our best basketball second night of back to back, but we hung in there, competed, and grinded it out.
Kyle.
Yeah, Frank, you mentioned the back-to-back contributed. Where do you think that maybe, I don't know if the word you use would be fatigue, but where do you think maybe some of those legs of the back-to-back showed up in the game today? And how do you feel like, what were the ways that you felt like guys grinded or sort of competed, especially in the fourth quarter?
Honestly, really all the ways I just said. I went through the list of our roster of all the ways our guys contributed. But our competitive spirit and will to win a basketball game, was at a high level. Obviously, we were 2-3 at home coming into the game. We want to have a winning record at home, obviously. And, we just grinded out the game.
Bill?
Hey, Frank, it was obviously a different starting lineup with Markieff and Wesley. Just how did you get there and what kind of inspired that change, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, just managing the roster. I mean, the West Matthews matchup was about him being in the Bulls division the last 2 years and getting a lot of reps guarding Zach and the familiarity piece. There's some analytics, based on him doing a good job on Zach. And, with Keith, it was – it was called minutes in the roster. He's been a little bit shortchanged with minutes and hasn't really had a chance to blow it out and get some big run. And obviously he was a huge contributor for us last year in a championship run. So with AD out, it's an opportunity to just get him some extended minutes, because he's someone we believe in, and he had a great performance tonight.
Hey.
Frank, Trez said the other day that you guys just have a free-flowing offense. Everybody's allowed to play their game, play to their strengths, and we're seeing that attitude kind of manifest itself. He had that play late where he put the ball on the floor, finished with contact. Obviously, his numbers have been strong. How much of that approach that you guys have do you feel like is opening up levels to his game that maybe you guys didn't even know when you pursued him as a free agent? And can you speak to his characterization of your guys' offense and system being free-flowing?
Well, you know, we play with a lot of randomness, you know, and we empower our point guard on the floor, whether it's Bron or Dennis or Alex, you know, to call the action, you know, with my ability to, you know, put guys in spots when needed. But we empower our group to, you know, to play with good offensive concepts, you know, as much as anything, you know, the spacing, the screening angles that we want to execute. Knowing each other's strengths, you know, whether it's playing through Mark at the top of the key and delay, and knowing that when he has the ball, you know, we're speed cutting all over the place, or if we're going to play in a pick and roll game with Trez, you know, he has that ability to roll the basket or, you know, throw it back and punch it in into him in the post. You know, we're just learning each other, you know, and that's part of the randomness, you know, that we want. You know, and guys have seemed to, you know, are getting more comfortable each game in that type of system.
Last three here, we'll take Dan.
Hey, Frank. You mentioned that you guys had a losing record at home going into this game. When you played San Antonio, they had been in Los Angeles for, I think, 3 days before you guys got here. The Clippers will play the Bulls, and the Bulls will have been in Los Angeles longer than them, too. Is that just sort of – is that one of the reasons you expect this year? The home court advantage, obviously, without fans is a factor, but just the way the travel and the baseball travel, do you think that'll have an impact on winning at home?
Yeah, you know, it's, who knows? You know what I mean? It's certainly an unusual season. I think the league-wide road teams have a better record than home teams. I think I saw that stat somewhere that the home team's winning percentage is 47% or something like that. You know, I think a big part of that is the fans, and, you know, probably like you just alluded to, maybe another part of it is, you know, teams aren't getting off flights the night before. You know, they're in a city for a couple of days and have a chance to get comfortable. But, you know, it's certainly unusual, and, you know, but that doesn't change the mindset that we want to be dominant at home.
Last two, Jovan.
Hey, Frank. You guys hit the 10-game mark tonight, and I'm just curious, how would you assess this opening stretch of the season, and has anything surprised you or stood out?
Well, I would assess that we're a work in progress. We still have a lot of work to do to tighten things up. We're still in an early evaluation phase of learning about how our new pieces fit and, you know, what this year's team looks like, you know, and we're still looking at a lot of different combinations, putting guys in a lot of different spots, you know, to continue to learn and evaluate, try to win games as we're as we're doing so. Has anything surprised me? That's tough to answer after the game. It's tough to put my finger on one thing.
Okay, last question, Brad Turner.
How you doing, Frank?
Good, Brad.
Good. Wesley's had two other games where he shot the three very well. He did that again tonight. What have you seen out of him that gets him going like that?
Well, he's a good shooter. You know, I always believe the ball is going in when Wes shoots it. You know, he didn't start hot out of the gates, but, you know, it was never anything I worried about. I think if we continue to work for shot quality, he's going to knock down threes. You know, he's shown that throughout his career. So, you know, it's just a matter of him getting quality shots.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. When we come back, I'll take your phone calls, I promise. I know we got some people on hold. I'll read off some of these tweets here. I threw out a tweet, what do you think through the first 10 games? So I'll read off some of those. Plus, we'll hear from Wesley Matthews. Thank you for being a part of the Pizza Postgame Show. Stay right here on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct, high-quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint, Chicago, actually, 62-42 over the Lakers, points in the paint. Let me double-check that here real quick. 62-42 Bulls, but the only score that matters at the end of the game, 117-115, Lakers win by two. Diego calling out from Santa Ana. Diego, thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Hi, Alan. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll preface anything I say right now by saying that I think 10-game sample size is kind of a knee-jerk reaction to what the team looks like, but I will say that I think that last year we had that real gritty character, almost resembling a team that was overachieving, but our biggest trump card was the fact that we had two superstars and basically the top two players in the league, LeBron and AD. I think we're more of a finesse team this year, and it's shown by the fact that we give up that many points in the paint, even though AD is not in the lineup tonight. But one thing I do want to say, and I think that it would be a good idea for the team to consider it, is THT yesterday in San Antonio's game mimicked a little bit of what LeBron does. And I'm not saying that THT is LeBron by no means, by any stretch of the imagination. But in order to give a hard cap on LeBron's minutes about midseason, keep him at like 30, and those extra 5-6 minutes to THT so he gets a little more playing time, and he's ready to go by next season and be a real solid contributor for like 18 to 24 minutes a game.
Listen, that's a good observation. I appreciate you calling in. I know what you're trying to say. You're not trying to make any comparisons between those two players. But even tonight, just watching the game, Talenhorn Tucker has the ability to get to the basket, and he's getting better at saying, okay, I got to the basket. I got two guys that are drawn in on me because the defender trying to guard me can't guard me one-on-one, and he kicks it out to Caruso for three, or he finds Kuzma in the corner. That's what a good point guard does, a point guard that has the ability to penetrate and find some of these other guys. So let's see how Talenhorn Tucker continues to – let's see how he continues to grow over the course of this year. I want to read off a couple tweets. So I put out a tweet out there. What do you think of the Lakers through the first 10 games? Here's Pat Dean on Twitter says, for a team that's learning to play together and kind of coasting, I think we are okay. No other team scares me. We're just a backup true center rim protection, and it's all good. Okay, so I think that's going to be the theme with a lot of messages from the Lakers, is about having that. You know, you hear Dwight Howard's name come up a lot. Let me read off another one here. David Eric's 210-664 says, like the record, a little worried about defense some nights and three-point shooting other nights. Solid B+. A screen swap says 7-3 is good, but they're playing pretty terrible defense and lackluster offense. So that just kind of gives you an idea. There's plenty of messages on here. If you guys want to hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, and I'll read off some of these messages throughout the postgame show. 10 games is not obviously a big sample size. It really isn't. But I do think it could tell part of a story. And that's all you have. I mean, we don't have 60 games to talk about, so we could only talk about the 10 here. Wesley Matthews tonight got the starting nod for the Lakers. Interesting starting lineup on Dennis Schroeder, Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol, Markieff Morris, and LeBron James. No Anthony Davis, no KCP. So Markieff Morris gets the start. No Kuz. Kuz came off the bench. Wesley Matthews, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line, hit some big threes, 14 points. Here's Wesley Matthews on the Lakers win.
Hey, Wesley, you've had a long, consistent career of hitting threes. Just this year, small sample size, it's been, hot streaks. What have you seen from the way you're getting your shots and how that certain nights like this one seem to build upon themselves?
I mean, it's just going to be, as the more I get comfortable, that's just how basketball works. That's how life works. You know, the more you get comfortable, you settle in, and all the work that you put in just starts to come come full circle and it starts to show. So, you know, tonight, obviously, first half was less than ideal. Second half was a little bit better. But just got to continue to build on everything. You know, for me, I get activated in the game on the defensive end. So that's what helped spur the offense. But obviously, when you got guys like Bron finding you, team looking for you, coaches and team confidence, they needed to play the game.
Up on LeBron, you specifically up the elite of all time, specifically to find three things.
Get ready. Anybody. And so have your hands ready. Space the court out, and you know, he's going to do most of the work for you. All you got to do is just step in.
Brad?
Wes, when you started the season 0 for 8 from three-point range, where was your confidence level at that point when you were sort of veteran that you knew eventually the shots would go in?
I mean, it's just law of averages. I wasn't too worried about it. You know, I was 0 for 8, but what I think I would do is one shot in the first quarter, one shot in the third quarter. You know, one game, another game, it was maybe two shots in the first quarter, maybe a shot in the first, shot in the second. You know, it was sporadic. So, you know, I'm not going to get hung up on that. You know, one of the coach, I forgot at what point in the who exactly said, kind of broke it down size for me. Look at it over a final. You can't just get, he said, went 6 or 5 game streak, continue to build, get better, play and impact that and let the offense flow.
Bill?
Hey, Wes. This is maybe the first time really in your career that you haven't been a full-time starter, you know, maybe going back to your rookie year in Utah. Has that required any kind of adjustment for you in terms of, you know, how you approach the game or how you come into the game?
Absolutely. I mean, if you've been doing something one way for, you know, a decade, you kind of get used to that. You kind of develop habits, you develop routines. So I just kind of take it all in stride. You know, this year has been, you know, unconventional year all across the board. So, you know, if there was a time to come off the bench, I think it would be now, you know, where everything is an adjustment, you know, daily life is an adjustment. So it kind of just fits with the mold of how everything is going right now. You know, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And this is just only going to make me better. I'm ready for whenever my name is called with whatever role it is.
If I could just ask follow up, like what, as a shooter, what is different about how you, get yourself going or how you try to integrate your game, integrate yourself into a game as opposed to coming out from the tip?
Well, like I said a couple times so far is I get myself going on the defensive end. So as a starter, obviously I've always been paired with whoever the best player on the other team is. So that already instantly engages me in the game. And so, you know, coming off the bench, it's just finding different ways to stay engaged, stay ready, you know, my body ready. Most importantly, you know, I'm coming in guarding one of the top two scorers and they've already got a flow. They've already, you know, got their body going and I'm fresh off the bench. So, you know, it's mental, it's physical, but it's going to be an ongoing adjustment. You know, like that's what it is right now. And, you know, I'm here to do whatever this team needs at whatever capacity, whatever role, I'm ready for whatever. And, you know, it's just a learning process and it's always easier to learn when you win.
Last three questions, Kyle.
Hey, Wes. Frank told us he put you in the starting lineup tonight in part because of your experience in the East, but also because he recognizes that, you know, you are taking on that new role that perhaps there haven't been as many minutes as you could play. Are you sort of aware of this reasoning? Do you have these conversations with coaches and do they point out sort of, hey, you know, if X situation comes up, we can get you more minutes, we can get you, you know, a spot start. How does that dynamic work?
As a player, you're just ready for whatever. Like I said, we put a lot of preparation in season, off season, just to prepare yourself for whatever the situation, whatever the outcome is. But as far as Coach Frank, I mean, he's probably the best communicator as a coach that I've had, you know, in this early season. You know, he communicates very well about it, whatever's going on in his mind, whatever he's thinking. So, I mean, that gives you comfort. You know, when you know when you're coming in, when you're coming out, you know, you can start mentally preparing yourself. You can get ready. You can start watching the game a little bit differently. And, I mean, he's a great communicator so far with me. And that's really helped my curve here.
Dan.
Hey, Wes. You get James Harden on Sunday and then again on Tuesday, I think. I don't know. NBA schedule, man. Every day is Tuesday. What do you try to do when you guard a guy like that without getting too detailed into the game plan? What's sort of the thing you can do that gives you the best shot?
Man, me and James have probably played against each other. I think James is probably one of the guys that I've paired up the most with in my league. And I mean, since I've been in the league, obviously we came in together. I was in Utah. He was in OKC. So same division. I was in Portland. He was in OKZ, same division. He went to Houston. I was in Portland. We played each other in the playoffs. So it's like we've seen each other a lot. I mean, it's just a matter. It's the same approach for anybody. You want to make everybody uncomfortable. You know, as far as the schemes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that varies depending on the team, depending on time, score, situations, and all that kind of stuff. But you know, he's a great scorer. He's one of the best scorers that this game will ever see. And so you just got to make things tough. You know, got to make him think a little bit more. Stop letting the game come so naturally, but it's just trying to make somebody as uncomfortable as possible. But, you know, I got a team with me, you know, it's not just me or KCP or whoever else may be on them. You know, it's going to be all of us defending all of them.
Last question, Jovan.
Hey, Wes, Jared got his first rotation minutes of the season tonight. I'm curious what you thought of his impact during that stretch from the late third into the...
All right, that's Wesley Matthews right there. I mentioned he had 14 points tonight. Got to get Wes Matthews to keep hitting that jumper. That could be such a key component for the Lakers. And as the season progresses, I'm sure that shot will start falling. But it was nice tonight, 4 3-pointers for the Lakers. Seems like any game that he can go off on, Lakers are in good shape. All right, when we come back, let's hear from the King, LeBron James, get his thoughts on the game. He ended up having 28 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists tonight, 11 to 21 from the field. Still played 34 minutes. Obviously had to pick up for the slack, not having Anthony Davis and KCP in that starting lineup. LeBron James coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lakers take care of the Chicago Bulls, 117-115, the final score. Okay, a couple plugs here. Next game coming up on Sunday. So Lakers will go on a 2-game road trip against the Houston Rockets. Sunday's game is a 4 p.m. tip-off, so Michael and I will do the pregame show at 2:30, and then John Ireland and Michael Thompson will obviously call the game. Couple scores. Let me go to a couple scores around the NBA. Some games that have an effect on the Los Angeles Lakers. Warriors beat the Clippers. Warriors are now 5-4 in the season. Clippers dropped to 6-4. So what does that loss plus the loss of the Phoenix Suns mean? Suns lost in overtime to the Detroit Pistons, 110-105. It means Lakers are atop the Western Conference by themselves. Nobody else there. So they're 7-3. Got a small lead over some of the other teams in the Western Conference. A couple other games I want to point out. Jazz beat the Milwaukee Bucks, 131-118. Both of those teams now are 5-4. And then the Kings lost again. They're 4-5. They lost to the Raptors, 144-123. So kind of just gives you a little bit of an idea of all the games that went on earlier today, and it gives you just a sense. I mean, if you look at the NBA standings, and this is something that I've talked about before, that through 10 games, this is certainly not perfect basketball from the Lakers, and they got a long way to go. But having a long way to go and being in a position where, you know, you kind of know and understand that this team is going to need time to start figuring out ways to gel and the timing. And every time I talk to Michael says, no, they should already be fine. But I really genuinely believe it takes time. You got 5 new players that you're trying to bring into this team. You lost players that You know, obviously were key pieces last season from a role player perspective. But the one thing that you could depend on, it seems like every single night, is LeBron James, LBJ. Another 28-7-7 tonight. And he has just continued at age 36 to do everything for this team. And he has continued to be, you know, one of those players that you can depend on night in and night out. And he is, you know, certainly from this perspective, kind of getting a chance to watch LeBron on a night-in-night-out basis, he is still the best player in the world. He's still setting up all the other guys. So, you know, LeBron certainly continuing to carry the load for the Lake Show. So what we'll do, and this is going to be part of what, you know, we're hoping for, is LeBron James is fresh as we kind of progress through the season. All right, so Lakers 117-105, the final score. I do want to go to LeBron James and get a chance to listen to LBJ, get his thoughts on the Lakers win. Laura, we good on that? We ready to go? All right, let's go to LeBron James.
LeBron, I just wanted to gauge the importance over your career of having vets at the end of the bench like a Dudley that can still come in and give a positive impact on the court, you know, as opposed to just sort of leave behind the locker room, and just what you've seen from that over the course of your career.
I've been fortunate enough to play with some real true professionals when it comes to that role, and guys that are stars in their role. And Duz is another one of those guys that whatever the team needs, man, I mean literally whatever the team needs, he is ready for whatever, both on and off the floor. And that is a diamond in the rough to have for a championship aspiring ball club. And Duz has been that for us the last 2 years.
Yeah, with everything going on this season and how unique games are and no fans and stadiums, you guys are still 7-3. Just wondered if you could assess what you've seen from your squad at this point.
Through the first 10 games, I think we've played B-plus basketball. And that is absolutely okay because we are a team that's that added five new pieces to the rotation. And Trez and Dennis, Mark, you know, Wes, and also Taylen. You know, we've added five new pieces to our regular rotation, and we're still learning each other. We're getting accustomed to, you know, different lineups, playing with different guys. But I think through the first 10 games, we've played pretty good basketball. You know, we want to be better, and but you know, through the first 10 games, I think B+. I will give our grade, and that lets me know that we have room to improve, which is a bright spot.
Can you guys hear me over there?
I can.
Okay. You're frozen on my side, so I'm going to keep going. Kyle?
Hey, LeBron. Just specifically with Wesley, you guys obviously were really connecting well, especially in the third quarter. What has a guy like that, who obviously is a great shooter, what has he adapted to kind of get into places where you can get the ball to him, and what have you learned about his game?
I mean, he's a D&3 guy. You know, defensively, he's going to always take the matchup of the best perimeter guy on the other side. And that's what gets him into the flow of the game. You know, defending, you know, Zach LaVine tonight. I think we lost connection. Can you guys hear me?
Howdy.
All right, that's LeBron James, right? This is the world that we are living in today. They had some technical difficulties there, so I'll just kind of jump in. I thought it was interesting, LeBron saying that he give his team so far a B+. I think that's fair. I think, you know, having some different players in and out of the lineup, having, you know, obviously a lot of these guys that are on this team right now, a lot of them new players that have big, big roles. Dennis Schroeder has a big role on this team. Montrezl Harrell has an important role on this team. You kind of go down the list there. But it also shows that there's a ton of improvement left for the Lakers. I hope AD's ready to go on Sunday, because I do think the Lakers will need him in these next two games. I know this. If you look at it just from a standings perspective, Houston's in at 3-4. Remember, they had one of their games postponed, so it's easy to kind of look at the Rockets and say, "Oh, okay, it should be a walk in the park." I don't really think you have many walk in the parks. I think you have teams that are ready to play the Lakers. They're excited to play the Lakers, so that's probably what the Lakers can expect moving forward. 117-115, the final score. As always, we appreciate everybody tuning in here. Our next broadcast this Sunday. Lakers versus the Rockets. We'll get a chance to see John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Christian Wood is having a great start to the season, and, of course, James Harden. Coverage begins at 2:30, tip-off set for 4 o'clock. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, the Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.